We distinguish between vessel and him who fills the vessel and uses it. We don't give the glory to a man, but wholeheartedly, as we sing, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. In us is not the spirit of idolatry, but the Spirit of God. And the Lord Jesus said in John 4, Woman, I say unto you, the time comes, yes, it's already here, where people will neither worship in Jerusalem nor on a holy mount, but who will worship God in the Spirit and in truth. And this we want, to worship in the Spirit and in truth. The truth is God's Word, and the Spirit is God's Spirit. And if God's Word is revealed to us by God's Spirit, then we can worship God in the Spirit and in truth. And this is then a worship that is not just made with lips and reaches to the ceiling, but a worship that ascends to the throne of God. You all know, in the Old Testament, when the high priest went behind the veil, there was the Ark of the Covenant, there were the cherubims, there was the supernatural glory of God, there was the mercy seat, there was fellowship with God, there was the answer, there the Lord spoke. And I believe, since the opening of the seals, in particular, God has taken us behind this veil, and we may look into the secret things of God and know that He revealed everything to us, not by searching, but by revelation. This is the whole secret of what it is actually all about. But as God revealed Himself in Christ and remains hidden to some and is not visible in the tabernacle, and to the others becomes visible by revelation in the Spirit, so it is also with every word of God. Even the revealed things seems to be for some be still veiled in a riddle, and one interprets, one explains, and the directions are then totally different. But with God, there's only one direction. And into this one direction, we want to go. And if somebody finds out that I or somebody else amongst us does not walk this one direction, then please come to us and straighten us out. We want to, with all our heart, do that what is well-pleasing to God, and believe, as the Scripture has said, to stand our ground before God. All interpretations will have their end, but the Word of God remains forever. And so we are thankful that this Word became a new precious to us, after it was illuminated in such a wonderful way. Yes, it was put upon the lampstand, and the lampstand is the church, and the Lord walks amidst the seven golden candlesticks. We are so grateful to the Lord, right, for the revelation of the seven seals, for the revelation of all the mysteries of the Word. Nothing remained veiled. If, then we must say, as Paul wrote it in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, if the Word, if the Gospel which we preach remains hidden, then only to them who get lost. With them, even a revelation remains hidden. But for us, who we are ordained to see the glory of God, we know that the veil was taken away and we may go from clarity to clarity. You know that right the true testimony of God since time began was disputed and persecuted. The entire Old Testament testifies that the men of God who were the carriers of the word, they had to give their lives. Our Lord said, from Abel up to the blood of Zacharias, the prophets gave their lives. Did one prophet commit any crime that one would have to stone him for that or murder him for that? And even that would not have been right. No, they carried the divine seed of the word. And this Satan hated. And to get to the word that was in these men, to whom the word came, whom God even called gods, because the word came to them, them he hated. Not because they were evil men, but because of the word of God's sake. Beloved, what shall we say now? Our Lord said at that time, for if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Will you be better off than your master? Sometimes brothers and sisters come to me and tell me how they feel sorry for me. And they say, Brother Frank, we suffer so much with you. You are so terribly attacked. And I'm just happy about it. I'm just glad about it. This you hardly can understand. But it is just like that, as I said already, and as I was told. When one asked the other, did you meet once the devil? You all know. And he said, no, I didn't meet him yet. And then was the answer, then you walk with him into the same direction. And that's how it is. If we didn't meet the devil yet, yeah, you may say, how shall I meet him? God and the devil both use men, both speak through men, both work through men. And very cruel it gets when Satan gets hold of believers. Then it gets seven times worse. And then you can speak better with any other person than with them. Yes, with such people, one can then not speak at all, because they don't even let you speak. How totally different it is when a person received the nature of a lamb. Then he endures everything and can bless them who curse him. Earlier, I would have thought that this is impossible. I am also just made out of flesh and blood. And in times past, it was very quick. One has pulled up the sleeves and then the fight was on. But since I know what it is about, and even know what Brother Branham, to whom the world could have been at his feet because of his divine authority, what this man had to endure. You remember the sermon when he said, they called me all kinds of things, from God up to the devil and charlatan, soothsayer and fortune teller. There was no term that would have been still left with which he was not called. Why was the devil so angry? Why did Satan not attack all these great evangelists with their huge radio programs, with their empires. The one doesn't get even along with 200 millions of dollars, and the other not with a billion of dollars, and so forth. With them, he seems to be kind. All the world, governors, and who they are, they have a good opinion of these people. In the midst of all of them, walked one who was despised, who was avoided, who was misunderstood, who was rejected. And all who came to his meetings, they were just as despised. This gave him also a hard time, this you know. His father was not a mayor, this you also know. You know his origin. And he suffered under this. But right, this misjudged man carried the precious seed of God. Right, this man was already from his mother's womb ordained to be the prophet of God, to preach the true word. And here I think on Romans chapter 8. There Paul writes, whom all have abandoned, and nobody stood with him. He came then to the conclusion and wrote, if God is for us, who can then be against us? Then all of hell can be against us. And we hear then the Lord say silently, even the gates of hell will not prevail against you. We look on him who said, I was dead, and I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. If we are attacked in this time, then we should thank God for it. No man ever was honored on earth with the truth. If sometimes, as Paul said, or the Lord said to him, I have ordained you to testify before low and high, then we remember the words of the Lord, be wise, but be without guile. You all know the scripture. God uses sometimes opportunities that his word reaches everywhere. But never ever believe that we can make compromises. If we don't preach the truth that was revealed to us, who shall then preach it? And we are glad about it and say with Paul, we are not ashamed of the word of God and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has become our life, a living revelation of God in our days. I hope that we all appreciate it, that we rejoice about it, and that we become a part of the things of God in these days. As already mentioned before, we not only want to look on that, what God has done. This is very important. We must know how God was at work in order to know how he is at work today. One has to see and recognize the divine traces and ways from the very beginning. Also this, Brother Branham has said very clearly, in what kind of way the Lord was ever at work. And so we may rejoice in these days that we have a pure divine food. In the prophet Isaiah 28, the Lord said, all tables are full of vomit and filthiness. The people uttered things that were not of God. Today, we have a pure table with pure food, unmixed Word of God, clear revelation of Jesus Christ our Lord. And maybe I should say this here, because some know it already. But it was really a great privilege for me when I, in the London University, could give the exposition about the Godhead. It was on my heart. And then also about the divinity of Jesus Christ. People may marvel about it and suddenly ask, what has now happened to Brother Frank? Does he want to lift up his nose now? No, but he needs open doors to bring the Word of God everywhere. For one thing I ask you, just pray that always the will of the Lord be done. And the more doors are opening, the more grateful I am. And if we believe that this message shall be preached to all peoples, tongues and nations, then I ask you, how shall it be done when we sit here without the world knowing of it? Someday the world has to come to know of it. The nations must get to hear it. And the Lord prepares already the ways. Everything is finished already. That's how a songwriter sings it. His plan is finished already. The truth has become so precious to us. And we have a deep longing in us to tell it to others, to report, to proclaim what was given to us by God. And when this hour comes, then I cherish the hope that God in a supernatural way will be with us and will confirm His word. I told the Lord, I'm ready to give my whole life and to testify unto the ends of the earth. But I asked Him like Moses, if you don't go with me, then I don't go. Then I don't go. I want to know that you will be with me. And if I know this, of course, now you may ask, why don't you know it? After all, the Lord has said, I will be with you until the end of the world. This is a general promise that applies to all of us, all believers. And please never doubt it. The Lord will be with you all the days of your life. But now it's not about you, it's about me. And that's a totally different thing. You all remember Moses when he said, Lord, they will not believe me. Did not Brother Branham say the same words? They will not believe me. And already the angel said, two signs will be given you. Also, this great man of God needed a visible confirmation for himself that God is with him. That God is with us, this we know. But the others don't know it. We don't need the confirmation, but for the sake of the others, we believe, but the others don't believe. And therefore we ask God that He is in such a way with us that also the others believe. And here you may say, is this necessary? It was necessary, even in the days of the apostles. And if it was necessary then, when all the things were so fresh, if it was necessary back then, how much more it is necessary today? I read to it from Hebrews. From Hebrews, there should be the scripture where the Lord has confirmed His word. Who knows the scripture from Hebrews? Yes, right, I look on it. and don't see it. So Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, here we read from verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. This is apostolic authorized proclamation. And you remember the discussion which a preacher had with Brother Branham when he told him, the time of the apostles is over, and with it all ceased what happened at that time. And Brother Branham says, I'm astonished that you, as a scholar, can even say this. And he went on to say, I can show you where it began, and you will show me where it stopped. And then came arguments, but they don't count with God and men of God and with the people of God. Who comes with arguments from the beginning? Satan, the old serpent, makes a question mark here and a question mark there. Should God have said? Should God have meant it this way? And so he comes with the one and the other. We look through that by the grace of God. For the Spirit of God in us joins us with the Word that came forth from the Spirit. And we stay on the Word. Even then, when we don't see it fulfilled yet, here somebody might say, yes, Brother Frank, is this not a difficult thing to believe and to believe many years and not to see it fulfilled? Listen, if we are the divine seed of Abraham and the Word of God as a promise has fallen into us, whether it takes 5, whether it takes 20 or 25 years, doesn't matter. We believe what God has said, and we get stronger and stronger in the faith, and we know that the hour comes in which God fulfills his word. For the scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. Brother Barrier told me last night, Brother, you spoke too fast. I could not translate so fast. And there I thought on our French-speaking brothers and sisters. But I tell you, it overwhelms me. That what God has done in our time is so great, so mighty, so wonderful, so clear. It could not have been made more clear. And we all know exactly, when prophets and men of God preach, revelation is a matter between God and the individual. And therefore, every individual must have the connection with God to receive the revelation by the Spirit. How many have really received the revelation of Jesus Christ? Just say Amen. You know Jesus not only after the flesh. You know him after the Spirit. At that time, he asked, what do the people say who the Son of Man is? Some said Jeremiah and this and that. And the Lord was so sad that they all were wrong. And he turned to his disciples and asked, What do you say who the Son of Man is? And it came as quick as a shot. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then came the answer, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Revelation of Jesus Christ. The people said back then, from where does this man get all these miracle powers? From where all the wisdom? Who is he? We know him, his brothers, his sisters, all stay around us. And our Lord says to the multitude, who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? All who do the will of God, these are my brothers and my sisters. He right away corrected them. They knew him outwardly, after the flesh. But Thomas then cried out, my Lord and my God. This was revelation of Jesus Christ. And I believe that we all, out of conviction, can say the same. We see him as the Son of Man, as Son of God, as Son of David, as King, Priest and Prophet. We see him as High Priest, as Mediator, as Advocate. We see him as many things. But right at the end, everything merges back into his divinity. And then God will be all in all. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. All these revelations were necessary for the sake of our salvation. And when then the eternal counsel of God will have come to its completion, then we will see why all that had to be that way. It is so wonderful that we don't have to explain anything, but that we can believe everything with all our heart. Let us come back briefly to this point. At the beginning, God confirmed the Word in a supernatural way, and we believe in the perfect restoration of all things. At the end, God will confirm his word in a supernatural way. And also there, Brother Branham said, when the squeeze will come upon the bride, then these mighty things will take place. Well, we want to see them already today, but today the squeeze is not yet upon us. But probably, I almost said when I write my last book, this will then trigger some things. But there has to come a crash into the house of God. Some things have to be turned upside down. The people have to be awakened. Otherwise they sleep on. Our task will be, with all of the dynamics of the Word of God, to come to the people. And then the devil will of course get even more angry. But we are just ordained for it, to bear witness of the truth before high and low, without any compromise. Tell me of one prophet who made compromises, not one. And therefore, they gave their lives. What was with our Lord? What with the apostles? They had no choice. They couldn't do otherwise. They had to proclaim the word of truth freely and openly. And the Lord said, he who is of the truth, he hears my word. And you don't hear my words because you are not of the truth. So, if we are born of God, then we are a part of God, have the nature of God, have the Spirit of God, and have the connection and relation to the Word of God. And everything else, what is not the pure and holy Word of God, will be like a foreign object and cannot be received in us at all, because it doesn't have the same nature. It must be of the same nature. That's what it's all about. And we believe that God has a divine seed, sons and daughters of God. He, the firstborn, as our Lord and Redeemer, and we then the firstborn. In Ephesians 5, Paul described the mystery of husband and wife and transferred it then unto the church and says, here is a great mystery. I apply it to Christ and the church, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, word from his word, nature from his nature, everything after its own kind. Paul wrote so nicely to the Corinthians, as we bear the image of the first Adam on us, so we will bear the image of the second Adam, namely Christ, on us. What promises has God given us in his word? How many of us expect that God will once more manifest himself? How many expect that he once more confirms his word? How many expect that the message once more has to be carried into the world? Some are very satisfied when they can be here and there and philosophize a bit about the message that God has given. This does not suffice for us. We believe what the scripture says, that this message will be preached for a witness as the everlasting gospel to all peoples, tongues and nations. Why? Because the bride has to be called out from everywhere. And if she has to be called, then the call must go forth there where the people are. And they most certainly will not come all here. We will have to go there or not. Did the Lord say, from all the world they will come to you? Or did he say, therefore go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? We know that God used Brother Branham to bring the message, but he didn't have the commission to travel from country to country. When he wanted to come to Switzerland and Brother Argenbright urged him, there God showed him these ships which prepared to cross the ocean. And the Lord said to him, don't travel, remain here and store in the food, for the time comes in which it will be needed. A man of God wanted but was not allowed. He had to remain there. And what did he say? I go and preach everywhere, but here in Jeffersonville, this is the place on which I can preach everything the way as God revealed it to me. Also here, one has to know and understand and be able to discern where did he preach what. You can see it clearly in his sermons. If it is a sermon in Jeffersonville that was preached there, yes, there was no consideration for businessmen or for him or her. There it came very strong, and there the things came forth mighty. And then he was asked, why do you still go everywhere where you cannot preach everything? Again, a very simple answer because God has also individuals there who have to be called out, and they are made aware and will then find their way with God. A man of God, led by the Holy Spirit, knew exactly how he has to behave, where he could do what, equipped with divine wisdom. It is now our time and task to this word revealed by God to carry it into all the world. When I think about that, we now, it's more than 122 countries which we look after, and hearing the news also from Russia, from everywhere, what God is doing there, it is just so wonderful how our Swiss brethren always sing, God is still on the throne and everything is subject to him. When Satan frightens us and darkness comes upon us, then we sing, God is still on the throne. What did I tell you recently? What did I write? Eastern and Western Europe have to make a common thing. There's only one beast, according to the book of Revelation, only one power. I thank God for Mr. Gorbachev. May God be with him in a very mighty way, and may he give him such an influence in all of Europe. And after his influence comes then my and our influence, God's influence. Hallelujah, praise God. The doors have to open. The time is here, and I'm glad about it. Some are afraid that Stalin resurrects. Don't you worry, he will not resurrect. He died, and for this we are happy. What will come again is that what we just emphasized, that the Lord will open the doors. And I tell you, if these people who were fooled and deceived by the Christian religion and were so disappointed on Christendom, when they will hear the true word of God, then I want to see how they start to jubilate and to rejoice. Not some kind of Christian politics or Christian religion, but Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. God has also many there. How many do actually pray for Eastern Europe and for all the world? God bless you. Continue. The Lord has also people there. We have no enemies at all. The only enemy whom we have is Satan and his host. Everybody else are our friends. May God bless us and be with us. Beloved, Brother Barry knows it, Brother Kupfer knows it, and our Brother Joseph knows it, that I still said before the service in the office, this morning, our French-speaking brothers, they will give testimonies one after the other. I've said it earlier in the office, and now it has come totally different. I can nothing for it. God bless us. Amen. Let us stand up and worship. My God, I worship you. From the bottom of my heart, just as I can. My God, I worship you. Based upon the authority of your word, I may, in your name, say to all who believe that the work is finished on them. Beloved Lord, we not only came into an emotion, but into a wonderful atmosphere of faith in which all things are possible. Lord, you are now going through our midst. You touch, you heal, you deliver, you save, you bless, you reveal yourself. For you are the same yesterday, today, and the same forever. I thank you now that you have done it, and that we will hear testimonies of them who experienced it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.